الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we come to the third story of Surah Al-Kahf, the story of Musa عليه السلام and Khidr عليه السلام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this story has placed so many different things for us to learn. The main object of the story is that the story talks about the test of knowledge, the trial of ilm. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Musa alayhi salam was in a gathering and somebody asked him, who has the most knowledge today, who is the biggest alim? And Musa alayhi salam said, I am. And this was a perfectly correct statement, because Musa alayhi salam was the Nabi of the time, and obviously nobody can have more knowledge than the one who is receiving wahi. So Musa alayhi salam's statement that he had the most knowledge was not a boastful statement. He was not being inaccurate. He was not showing off. He merely stated a fact, and this is a fact. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu wanted to teach him what he wanted to teach him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam to go and meet. Now the word Khidr does not come in the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Khidr and said who he is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention Khidr anywhere in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we sent him to meet one of our slaves. So Musa alayhi salam was sent. He was given directions, go to such and such a place, and his companion and his servant was with him. And Musa alayhi salam gave him a fish and he told him that this fish will indicate for you, and that fish was supposed to be for them to eat. And then the whole story which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the Quran, where this person, the fish, he lost the fish, they were resting at a particular place, he lost the fish, and then they continued for a while, and then Musa alayhi salam said, okay, now let us sit down and eat. And then the boy said, well, the fish is gone. He said, where is the fish gone? He said, far back, this is what happened. The fish which was there, it went into the water, and it was as if it was making a path for itself. I could see there's some kind of a path in the water. So Musa alayhi salam said, that place where the fish left you was the place we were searching for. So they backtracked. And there they found this man who was sleeping, and they woke him up and so on and so forth. So, and that's the whole story, where Musa alayhi salam came and apprenticed himself and became a student of Khidr alayhi salam. Now, first point of the story is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for Musa alayhi salam that when it was necessary for Musa alayhi salam to learn something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam to the teacher. Even though in terms of hierarchy, Musa alayhi salam's status was far higher than the teacher's, because Musa alayhi salam was sahibul sharia, Musa alayhi salam was a nabi, and he was a rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the face of the planet, when there is a rasul, there is nobody who can be of a higher status than the prophet. It is not possible. When there is a prophet on the earth, then that prophet has the highest status before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No king, no nobody has a status higher than the prophet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophet to somebody who could teach him, even though the status wise, the prophet's status is higher than that of the teacher. So the first lesson we understand is that if you want to learn, you have to humble yourself. You have to go to the teacher. You cannot say the teacher must come to me. Allah could have sent Khidr to Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have ordered Khidr alayhi salam to go and say, go teach him. Allah did not. Allah told Musa, you go. Second thing is that the journey is not necessarily easy, because Musa alayhi salam's journey was long. It was very long. And then he had to backtrack from somewhere and so on and so forth. So he had to undergo hardship. So undergoing of hardship, humbling yourself to the teacher, going and sitting at the feet of the teacher, these are all prerequisites to learning. So the lesson being taught here is the lesson of adab. And saying, if you do not have adab, you cannot learn. If you go to the teacher thinking that you are superior, you cannot learn. You may be superior. And in the case of Musa alayhi salam, as I told you, there are in several ways Musa alayhi salam is actually superior. But doesn't matter. Whether you are actually superior or you imagine that you are superior, if unless you go and humble yourself to the teacher, you cannot learn. And you must make the effort. You have to undergo the hardship, not tell the teacher to undergo. Today this is a very common thing. Today people come, I want to learn from you, very good. What time can I come? Come at Asr on Sunday. No, but that's not convenient. If it's not convenient, go to hell, who cares? Who cares? If it's not convenient, go. Go find somebody who is convenient to you. Now this is the problem, that's not convenient. Can you teach me at such and such time, which is convenient to me? Okay, now why can't you come for us? No, at that time I go to play football. So, not this adding insult to injury, in the sense that first of all, you want the teacher to stretch himself to your convenience. And secondly, the reason why you cannot come is some nonsense like playing football or some rubbish which has absolutely no zero value in the dunya wal akhirah. And then you believe that you are a student and you want to learn. And how will you learn? You cannot learn. You are incapable of learning. You are a piece of rock. You are incapable of learning. So seriously, this is something that we have to learn. Adab, without adab, there is no knowledge. Without adab, there is no knowledge. No teacher in the world can teach you. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching in this. Then, second lesson that comes in is when Musa alayhi salam told Khidr who he was and why he came, Khidr told him, sorry, can't teach you. He said, why? He says, you have no patience. You cannot learn from me. So second lesson is, to have patience. You don't always understand what the teacher is telling you. You may not always like what the teacher is saying or doing, but if you want to learn, you must have patience. You must have sabr. So Khidr put, alayhi salam, he put a condition and he said that you cannot ask me a question. Just be with me and learn. I will teach you what I will teach you, but you don't ask me any question. Now Musa alayhi salam accepted that, and then we have the three incidents which happened. And each time Musa alayhi salam asked him a question. Now, if you look at each of the incidents, Musa alayhi salam's questioning is entirely reasonable. Because first of all, Khidr alayhi salam goes and makes a hole in the boat. Now, Musa alayhi salam is the Nabi. His job is to amar bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. You know, enjoin good, forbid evil. Now, in front of such a man, you are going and doing something which is, on the face of it, wrong. He will ask you a question. But Khidr said, I told you not to ask me. So Musa alayhi salam immediately apologizes. See, look at this. I mean, here is this man who is asking a legitimate question and he is higher in status and he knows who he is. Allah has sent him. Still, he apologizes. He said, I'm sorry, I will not ask you. Next one is even more, where Khidr goes and kills a boy. Now Musa alayhi salam is the man who brought the Sharia. How can you, I mean, doing something wrong in front of a police officer is one thing. Doing something wrong in front of the Supreme Court judge is something else. And Musa alayhi salam is not even Supreme Court judge. He is the one who brought the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his people. So doing something, murder which is haram, which is prohibited in front of Musa, how is he going to keep quiet? So Musa alayhi salam asked him a question, how you killed the boy? Why did you kill the boy? Again, sabr. Khidr said, I told you, don't ask me any question. And then he put a condition. He said, next time you ask me a question, salam alaikum. Goodbye. And of course, Musa alayhi salam asked him a third question, which is when they built the wall and he did not take any ujrat from the, he didn't take any reward from the people. The people refused to be hospitable, which they should have been hospitable. Here are travelers and so on, but they were not hospitable. So Musa alayhi salam said, you know, what they should have done, they did not do. Now we help them, so it is our right to ask for wages. So at least we can buy some food and so on. And Khidr said, Salaam alaikum, this is the end of the story, goodbye. And then of course he told him the reasons why he did these things. Before I go into the lesson from the reasons, from the perspective of the teacher, there are also lessons. Now usually when we do the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, this perspective nobody talks. But if you look at Khidr also, now here we are not criticizing Khidr alayhi salam. Khidr alayhi salam is a Nabi of Allah, and he did what he did. He was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was that, and as far as we are concerned, that story ends there. But since we are taking lessons from the story, and we say Khidr is the teacher and Musa alayhi salam is the student, what is the lesson that a teacher must understand? The lesson for the teacher is that it's okay, you can say the student must have patience. But any student, especially an intelligent student, will not have patience if you don't explain things. This also is important to understand. If you are a teacher, you can't just say, I will do and I will tell you when I want to tell you, and you cannot ask me any questions. This will not work. It did not work in Musa alayhi salam's case also. I mean, because if ideally speaking, in the case of Khidr and Musa, this is a whole decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are not going into that, we are not analyzing that example. We are just taking that example to understand ourselves. So if you are a teacher, it is essential that you explain what you are doing to the students. If you don't explain them, you will lose their interest. They will leave you. Student must have patience, no doubt. But the teacher must also explain. Second thing is, there must be a connection, especially with regard to tazkiyah and tarbiyah. There has to be a connection of the heart. There has to be a chemistry between the student and the teacher. Now in the case of Musa and Khidr alayhi salam, obviously there is no chemistry. And Khidr alayhi salam never wanted Musa alayhi salam as a teacher. Musa alayhi salam never wanted him as a teacher, as a student, and he never wanted him as a teacher. They had to do it because they wanted to do it, and it broke up, it fell apart. So it is essential also that you need to have a chemistry with the teacher. The teacher and you must get along. The teacher must be genuinely interested in teaching you, and you must be genuinely interested in learning. And the teacher must explain. The student must have patience. The teacher must also have patience. All of these things are critical to transfer of knowledge. Otherwise, knowledge won't get transferred. You may have the best student in the world, but you will lose the student. Student will lose interest and student will go away. In terms of the lessons of the of those three stories, again, extremely important lessons. One overall general lesson for all the three things is that the appearance of things does not necessarily indicate whether that thing is good or bad. In the case of the story of the hole in the boat, the child being killed and so forth, these are, on the face of it, the thing is negative. There's some loss happening. There's some, some harm is happening. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed how behind this harm is great goodness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, sometimes in our lives we find that things happen, conditions happen, losses happen and so on. And we might be upset by that, but it is very important to remember that the thing might look like it is a loss, but behind this is great khair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes uses a certain way in order to open the doors for great khair for the people. When I used to live in America, I remember there was this gentleman who was elderly gentleman, big white beard. So he used to pray always in the first saf, and he used to pray next to me. So, and I used to pray directly in front of the mimbar. So Jummah, the khatib, the imam would be giving khutbah, I'd be sitting literally in front of the imam, and this person would be sitting on my right. So this one Jummah, he didn't come. So we said, what happened to him? Why didn't he come? And it so happened that day, his son, he was living with his son. They started late from the house or something. It was winter, it had been raining, there was sleet, road conditions very bad. So the father, the son, in the front seats, and there were two other people in the back of the Land Cruiser. They were in a hurry to go, and the car went out of control, skidded. There was a stationary truck on the side of the road. The car hit the truck, turned over, and completely total. I mean, you take something to total Land Cruiser. It's not made of cardboard. You know, it's a heavy and extremely tough vehicle, but it completely smashed. Now, in that whole accident, When they came to this old man, he was reciting Ayatul Kursi. He asked people, how are you and this and that. And in that whole accident, everyone got off with some scratches and so on. But this gentleman, he broke his leg. So they rushed him to the hospital. Obviously, emergency thing. They rushed him to the hospital. The doctor said they have to operate on his leg. In order to operate on his leg, they did his cardiac profile. And they found that all the arteries were blocked almost 100%. So they did 3, 4, 5 whatever bypass on him, and they cleaned up everything. The cardiologist said that this man was living dead. He said he would have died any day. Literally, he could have dropped dead because he said I don't know how he is even walking. With a heart like that, he has no right even to be walking. And he said, if this operation had not been done now, you would be dead. Now, how did the operation happen? Not because he had any symptoms of heart disease, nothing. His operation happened because he got involved in an accident, car got totaled, he broke his leg. But the result of that was that he got life. I mean, in the sense of his operation got done. Because it was done under emergency conditions, it cost him nothing. Can you imagine? He gets all this stuff done in America and he pays nothing. Because it was part of an accident, so all the emergency services, everything got done for free. And of course, the car, they got insurance for it and so on. My point is that on the face of it, something might look negative, but behind it, there is great khair. Final lesson in this is the lesson of the wall, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam to build up the wall. Now, the story behind that which Khidr alayhi salam explained to Musa alayhi salam, this was as the result of the fact that the father of those two boys was a good man. Abu Huma Saliha. His father was a good man. Now, obviously, the father was a good person. Father would have done dua for the children. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards, if you are good, and if you are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guard your progeny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guard your offspring in all kinds of ways. And in order to guard them, see what Allah does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't send. Allah sent two Nabi, two Anbiya to build the wall so that the treasure for those boys was protected and it would be given to them at the right time. So this is the power of the dua of the parents for their children, number one. Number two, it is also, and the dua in this case is my assumption. Allah did not say in the Quran, Allah did not say the father made dua. He said his father was a good man. Obviously, he would have made dua. That is my assumption. But my point is that just being a good man alone is enough. Good man is what? Means, in the sense of good man, as we know from Salihin, it means somebody who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is on the sunnah of the Nabi and so on and so forth. That kind of a person, people who have parents like that must value those parents, because those parents are the source of great goodness for them. The parents must make dua for their children, because there is no dua more powerful than the dua of the father or mother for their child, and vice versa. So very, very important for us to do that. That's the lesson from this story. And wallahu alam, there would be more lessons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to learn and to practice. Because at the end of the day, it is only the practice which counts and which helps. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do what's pleasing to Him and to save us from that which doesn't please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar.